Disclaimer: the following podcast includes adult content topics, some profanity, and Bridgerton spoilers. Duh.
Dearest gentle listeners, have you heard the news? Welcome everyone to our podcast called Buzz the Ton, where we talk all things Bridgerton. My name is Sarah, and I am your host for the episode of this podcast. And joining me today, I have everybody here.
Yay!
It's always a treat when everyone's here. I love it. We've got MC.
Hey, what's up?
We've got JP.
Hi, guys.
Caitlin.
Hello.
Alondra.
Hey.
And Miss Mia.
Hi.
So, how is everyone doing? It's so nice to have everybody here together again. Gang is back together.
Yes.
I know it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. I want to apologize for my absence last two episodes. I broke my wrist. I don't know if anybody said anything in the podcast recently. We went out on New Year's Eve with a couple of us, and I fell and broke my wrist. Had to have surgery. So, yeah, did the real number on it.
We're glad you're back, JP.
Yes, me too. Yeah. I'm glad I'm back. But I'm like, that was my parting gift from 2023. I'm good. Like, 2024 is going to be better.
New wrist, new me. Right?
New wrist, new me.
You're all bandaged up like Colin.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's on the same hand, like, too, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they put me in a brace. I feel like I didn't even get a cast, which is kind of cool because now I can actually take it off and shower without having to put that weird thing on my arm again.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You won't drop trash any, bag like, on my arm for or a while. Something down there. Or...
Huh?
You won't drop any change in there and
right.
Have it lost for a while.
Does that actually happen?
I don't know. I've never broken anything. So that's just what you see in movies.
Yeah.
You know what? The first bone I broke was 6 years ago, and since then I have broken 5 bones.
Just like, wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm gonna have to buy you some whole milk. Yeah, I was gonna say whole milk.
I'm starting to get some milk. Oat milk's not doing this.
Got milk? No.
No. Got little bones because you're only 5 foot tall.
Yeah. All right, so in today's episode we're gonna step inside of Colin's shoes and deep dive into his character, both in the show and then from the book. We'll cover topics such as like his hobbies and interests, his personality, good and bad qualities, and how he differs from the show and the book. So let's start with the differences between book Colin and show Colin. So a lot of us kind of put down some of our thoughts in a list, and I'm just going to read them off and we can kind of discuss. So starting off with book Colin versus show Colin, the first point is he's more confident in the book. I feel like this will change once we get season 3, but
yeah.
What are some of our thoughts on that?
Well, we get an older Colin in the book, right? So
that's true.
We don't really see like the all the things that happened to him for him to be so like the way he is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like with show Colin, he's like still a baby.
Like, I think like the big thing about show Colin's character for me is that especially in season 1, it's about him trying to grow up and be a man like his brothers.
Ooh, yeah.
He's only like, he's 6 years younger than Benedict, but Benedict and Anthony are only like 1 or 2 years apart. So he was a baby for a long time. So I feel like he's his entire, even getting married, like all of it was just trying to be a man. That's all of it was. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like him trying to prove himself.
Right. And I don't think like book Colin does that at all. I think that is a big part of his confidence though. He's trying to prove himself, trying to be a man. Hey, I'm a grown up too.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because he's, like you said, is he closer in age to Anthony and Benedict?
He is, but he's 6 years younger than Benedict, which is a pretty big jump for boys, I guess.
Okay.
So, and then I think Daphne was maybe a year or two after.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is
a big jump. I'm
going
to have to look this up.
in the books, I mean, he has like a relationship with his brothers, but I don't think it's as close as it is or that we see like on the show, right? So maybe,
yeah,
him being as young as he, like, you know, younger than them, and like them actually having like so many more interactions with each other, like he's just like the little kid around the big brothers, like trying to fit in, you know.
So the next point is that he's stupid, both in the show and in the book.
Oh no.
Yes.
I think
stupid, but
no, I think he's like just oblivious, I kind of just the things, and like he's kind of stuck in his own bubble.
He's a little flighty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't see what's in front of him often, and so it kind of makes him look dumb.
Yeah.
But
he's thinking with the wrong head. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. The wrong knob.
Exactly.
Remember?
We also said that he's a little bit more witty in the book. So, but again, like, we don't really get much of his character in the show anyways. For him, they do show it a little bit in the show, at least with Penn.
Yeah.
Like his little witty remarks. But obviously we get that more in the book because the book's about him. So again, I think that'll change in season 3.
I mean, he does
three,
have his comments.
Yeah.
In season 1 and season 2 still. Like, he makes lots of little jokes. Like, I oiled my way right in. Like,
yeah,
just silly things like that. Like, I love that.
We're just going to go and whip out our swords or whatever he says.
But yeah, he's let me take our sticks out. I think, honestly, I think Colin had a huge change after he like did the whole thing with Marina, like was like interested with her, because I feel like he was more laid back, witty, like super joke, like, you know, joking around with everyone before the whole Marina happened. And there's been like this like lapse of time, and I think that's why so many people got tired of him. Like, I've seen so many comments about people saying things about Colin, saying that he's like dull or he's like all these things, but no, he's actually like pretty witty, like you said. Mm-hmm. It's pretty funny. But I think that we're going to see more of his personality come out that we saw at the beginning of season 3. So I'm really excited to see the witty side of him more, because it's definitely there. Like, I saw it at the beginning of season 1. And then, like Caitlin said, like, it started to come out season 2 too, towards the end. Like, I oiled my way right in. Like, oh my God. That's a dad joke. Like,
okay, I found it. So there's Anthony. Benedict is 2 years younger. Colin's 6 years younger than him. Daphne's 2 years younger than Colin. Eloise is 1 year younger. Francesca's 1 year younger. And then it's a 4-year gap of towards Gregory, and then Hyacinth is 2 years younger.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So Colin is super close to Francesca and Daphne.
And he's closer in age to younger siblings than we think he is.
Hmm. Yeah. Poor Violet.
Right?
That's why he's always playing with Gregory.
Also,
like,
how do you have a
boy.
6-year gap when you have 8 children?
I know. That's crazy.
I think maybe she had miscarriages.
I think
that's probably
a possibility.
So the next point is he's more experienced in the book. He's a whole ass rake.
Yeah, he is.
I've said that before, and somebody said, I don't think he was a rake. He was just experienced, which is maybe true, but I don't know. I feel like he was a rake.
Totally was a rake.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you think he's done in the mirror before with someone else?
I don't think so. I should probably look into like what month. Does that ever say what month Colin was born in, like in the books?
Yeah, they have his birthday somewhere.
Because I was gonna say, like, in the books, he seems like very sexual. Like, I'm just thinking of like a sign that could be him. Like, he's probably like a Scorpio, Aries. I don't know. Like.
They have his birthday. They had given him like a happy birthday, Colin. On
really,
yeah, I think he's
If anything, he's a Gemini. Okay,
March is Aries.
his assertive side and his charming side, right?
March is Aries and Pisces. So all I'm saying is that Book Colin has like, I don't know, that's like the first, no, actually I felt that for other book characters, but like in a really long time, that was like
when March 2nd.
March 2nd. He's probably Pisces. Yeah. I was just so enthralled with him. I was just like, oh my God, I wish this character was brought to life. Like, I want to do all these things with him. I want to be Penelope or entertain him. I don't care. Like, you can have Penelope, but beforehand, come on.
Yeah, he's a Pisces.
He's a Pisces.
That makes sense. Water, and he sails and travel.
Oh, yeah.
He likes change. Yeah.
But Pisces, unevolved men are quite something. Let me just tell you that.
So in the next point is that he's more assertive / demanding in the book.
Mm.
Which, again, I think we'll get in season 3.
We did see it a little bit, though,
in season 2 from Colin.
Yeah. In the book, it kind of seemed like he was, like, brooding or demanding certain things. But I liked it. I mean, I like people that are assertive.
Yeah, I think assertive is a better word. But yeah, I agree.
And then we also have Show Colin. So kind of like the opposite. So Show Colin is quite more immature, especially in season 1.
Mm-hmm.
I still think a lot of that stems from him trying to be a man. I don't know. Just he's doing anything and everything that he can and makes some of the wrong decisions. And that comes from being immature. Mm-hmm. Like, if I get married, I'll be like
his brothers, but he's not old enough yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we also have Book Colin. So this is actually really interesting. I'm not sure who put this on our list, but Book Colin travels to escape his problems. And so did Show Colin in season 1. But in the second season, he traveled more for fun. But Book Colin kind of always travels to run away. So that we got that side of him in the show, because that's a big part of his character in the book.
That's why I've always thought, like, Book Colin, the one thing that I didn't like about him was that he was, like, so sad, you know, like, there are times where he was just like really, really sad and kind of brooding over things. And I think I like the change that Shonda's gonna give him, because he's gonna be much more happier. And I do think we saw that at the end of season 2, you know, like that hero, like he really thinks that man really thinks he saved the damn day, you know.
Well, he did until he screwed up.
And he goes But he goes off on a boat. This is the funniest part, because he goes off on a damn boat thinking that he's the damn shit. But and then he comes back and it's like completely shut down. Like, that's why I love that picture that they release of him holding Lady Whistle down, because it's like, your boat just sunk.
I love it.
I really do think that he traveled season 2 because he was like feeling so good about himself, and like, I don't know, I'm curious to see how he's gonna handle everything. But I do like the change that they're giving his character, that I will say.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like the fact that when things get hard, he's got to run away, you know? Like, But I think that was just part of him figuring himself out. Mm-hmm. But now he knows what he wants, then he's not going to, like, run from it.
Yes. So they're making him more assertive. And I think it's normal to run away when, like, one thing happens, you know, and to grow from it. Because I think that's what he was doing with the whole Marine situation. But then after that, he's just going to be like, fuck it, I don't care. Well, not really. He's going
to
beg.
Well, initially, I don't think he, in the show at least, I don't think he traveled to escape his problems, though. I think he initially wanted to travel to, again, learn about himself and learn who he was, kind of, as because he wanted to be a man, and that was the way he's going to do it. Yeah. And then he gets engaged, so it's not a big deal anymore. But And then after that is when he starts to escape. So initially he wanted to travel even before Marina. Like, it was the very first, you know?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Marina, our last point to book show versus show Colin, or book Colin versus show Colin, is that in book Colin, he didn't want to get married. Like, we have a 10-year jump in the book and he's still not married yet. And he's like 33. And which is a big deal if you're not married by 33 back in those days.
And that was basically your life expectancy, just came
right. And then, but show Colin, like,
you broke your wrist and that was
the
it.
First sight of somebody that was slightly interested in him. So
yeah, he was ready. He was like, damn ready. He's like, Daphne's getting married, I need to.
Like, I actually thought, I'm sorry, when I went to the doctor about my wrist and he showed me the x-ray, there was a part in my head that I was like, if I lived in Bridgerton time, I'd have just been a cripple from now on. Like, that's horrible.
They would cut your wrist off. That's what they
I'd
would
have just do. Been like, I guess I can't use my arms, and I'd already done the left one, so I'd have just been like,
you'd be ruined, JP.
I'd be ruined.
But I think, like, in the show, the whole thing with Marina is it gives Colin a reason to not want to get married, and I think that'll show in season 3.
Oh, I never thought of that.
But in the book, they never really gave us a reason as to, like, why he didn't want to be married. He just never was.
Was he, like, he wasn't, like, totally against it, though, right? It wasn't,
not
like,
that I remember reading.
Yeah, I don't really remember. I remember him just being, like, meh. He more, like, laissez-faire about it or whatever. Yeah,
I feel like it's kind of the reader's interpretation of it, you know, in the book.
Yeah. The way I saw it was, like, he was just scared of commitment. And I think a lot of it might have been because of the father's death. And, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe that impacted him in a certain way. I just think he was just super, super scared. He didn't even want to talk about it. Like, the moment that his mom said anything about it, he wanted to go back on that ship. And go off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cute the way that it was, like, once he always knew that he had a thing for Penelope, but once he, like, really knew that he had a thing for Penelope, he was just like, yes, I'm gonna marry you. Like, mm-hmm. I think that was, like, the huge thing that I really, really liked. But I think you're right, Sarah, or I don't know who said it, that they're going to show with Marina, they're going to show why he didn't want to get married.
Right.
Why he doesn't want to get married. So that was, like, the whole reason.
And he used that as an excuse.
Like, yeah. And now he's using that as an excuse to, like, not ever get married. And then that's why he forswore women, whatever.
But at the same time, though, in season 2, it kind of gets resolved with Marina, though.
No, but
But
I think he wanted to close that chapter because... You know what's gonna happen. You know what's gonna happen to Marina. I feel like the character needed something, like, that chapter was never gonna be closed with him. So now that that's closed, he's still forsaking women, whatever, and he's gonna come back, total rake. I know people don't want to hear it, and then I think that he's going to just say he doesn't want to get married, which is gonna go back to that book, Colin, and then Penelope is gonna come around. With her big juicy knobs, whatever, and then is going to persuade him.
Her bosoms.
Did I say knobs? Bosoms.
Bosoms.
There you go.
Her breasticles.
Breasticles. Didn't want to say.
That's gonna be a word. That's gonna be a way to whistle down word of the day.
Breasticles. Use it in a sentence.
Breasticles. I've never really thought about that until right now. I think that they're going back to show Colin. I'm sorry, book Colin, which is super
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm. So moving on then to our next, like, category of Colin's is his personality / how does he act. So some of these we kind of already mentioned, like, he started to travel to escape things. He's witty. His jokes, like, we're about to take our sticks out. But the next one is that he's very charming. He's flirted with all the ladies, except for Penn, apparently. But so
no,
he's known in the books as a charmer.
When he told her that one time, like, when he told her, like, I've flirted with, like, almost all the ladies in London, Penn's just like, yeah, yep. I know. Except me.
I mean, and he is made to be out very charming in the show as well. So, that's definitely a good character trait that they stuck with on both ends. And I also think he's very kind. I actually started getting my really good friends into Bridgerton, and we're actually finishing watching season 2 tomorrow together. So I'm super excited for her to see the ending. I told her she's going to hate Colin at the end, but
you're watching it with her.
Yeah. But she said that she's like, you know, she doesn't like Anthony's character, but she, the first thing she said is she's like, you know, Colin's character, he's like, he seems like he's really kind. I'm like, I know.
Like, can I say something about this?
Yeah, hold on to that, right?
So the kind thing. Colin is very, very kind. And one of my favorite aspects about his character. Mm-hmm. And though even though he is a blind fool when it comes to Penelope. Blind. He can also see when other people are suffering, even when he's suffering. But like with the Marina thing, and Daphne comes and she's talking to him in the room, he had that moment and he's like, what's wrong, sister? Did something happen? Like, in the middle of his biggest heartbreak of his entire life, he has that moment where he's like, hey, somebody I love's not okay. And then he does it again, and even in season 2 with that. Penelope, when they're walking out with the necklace, and they're walking out of her house, and he says something about her loyalty, and then she says the thing, you don't have to thank me for being loyal, and he said, is something wrong? Like, he has a tendency to know when people need things, and I think that is a very good
aspect. He's, like, intuitive.
Like, he's got a very kind heart.
That's Pisces energy right there. I'm just going to say that one more time.
He was also willing to marry Marina. Like, he would have taken on her kids no problem.
Exactly.
Like, he said that. Like, I would have married you without a second thought.
And which, like, I think is another bigger aspect to talk about the kindness, because Colin is very, very charming, but charming does not always mean kind. Charming is something do to people. Charming is making other people feel comfortable. It's something you intentionally do. It's not something of your essence about who you are. Kindness is, do you know what I mean? Like, charming is trying to get somebody on your side. It's a little manipulative. Whereas kindness is just kindness.
Like, genuine,
selfless. So the next point is that he has a need for adventure. Same Colin, same.
He does.
So the next point too is that he's secretive, aka he follows people in their carriages and doesn't mind his own business.
I wrote that.
Doesn't mind
he just
his own
can't
business.
Help himself, like. He didn't have to, you know, follow someone's carriage all the way downtown.
I'm glad he did, though.
Yeah, me too.
He didn't have to secretly expose Jack Featherington either.
It also reminds me of what Caitlin said last episode. Like, what the hell was he doing for 2 damn days? Like, so secretive. Yes. But he was probably, like Caitlin said, he was probably pacing down the hall, like, in his room, writing, like, what he's going to say. And, like, holding all the secrets in. I don't know. He's very secretive.
Like, why?
But now, kind of on the flip side, it's like everybody has, you know, their thing. Is he loses his temper when he's not in control of a situation.
Ooh, but it's so hot.
It's kind of, yeah.
I like it. Maybe it's the Leo in me. Sorry, I'm very zodiac-y today. But what I do enjoy that he's like, he's just assertive, like, he knows what he wants. Well, sometimes. So, but when he does, it's very attractive. So
he's also a little bit more competitive too, especially we saw that with Pall Mall, but I feel like that was like a Bridgerton thing, because they were all competitive.
What if we see him see that more competitive side with Penn and, like, the suitors? Like, I would love that.
Yes. That'd be awesome. And then he also kind of has, like, a hero complex. That's our last point to this, is he often tries to save people or be the hero in situations. Alondra is like, yep.
At the cost of his own happiness.
It was like Captain Save-A-Ho. Is that what it was?
Oh my god.
He's just always gotta help everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Captain Save-A-Ho. Where did that come from?
I don't know. It just came to mind. Maybe it was in the group chat. I don't know.
Here comes Captain Save-A-Ho.
That's fine. He can save me any day. That's all good. All right. And then moving on to some of his hobbies and his interests. So I think the main one is he's known to be a traveler. We get that in the show and the book as well. I mean, I'm excited to see, like, if they mention any more travels for him in future seasons, because they don't really mention that in the books. So it'd be interesting to see, like, where he, different places that him and Penn maybe travel in the future seasons or something like that.
Kind of nice, because it gives them, like, a blank slate as to, like, what they want them to do or go, where they want them to go, right?
Yeah,
like that a lot.
The only thing I don't like about that, though, is they could use that, oh, Colin and Penn are traveling as an excuse for them to not be in that season.
Oh.
And I don't want that to happen.
You better not.
That's true. No. I would love for them to have, like, their own show where we see their travels. That'd be cute.
Spinoff.
Yeah, like a spinoff.
Adventures of the Whistledowns.
I do think it would be awful if they use that as an excuse for them not to, like, be in a season.
Yeah.
But also, like, don't you think that Lady Whistledown is going to have to be, like, in every season, unless, like, God forbid, someone takes
unless they do what they did, because she doesn't go in the books after, like, after she reveals herself, she does stop. So if they reveal her.
I know, but I don't think
they will.
I think Shonda has bigger plans for Penelope.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know?
I think so too.
The next point too is that he has his travel journal. So he's secretly a good writer, but lacks the confidence in himself until Penn gives him that little push. So I'm excited to, like, I know we get a little bit of his writing in the book. I'm excited to see how they do that in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are they going to, I guess, bring those excerpts into the show? Like, will Penn be, like, will he be reading them? How would they do that for media?
I wonder if someone's going to read the letters and then say,
like, read it out loud or...
Yeah, and then say, like, Colin, you love her. Like, stop lying to yourself. I don't know. or like, the other way around, say, like, Eloise maybe reading them out loud and saying, like, Penn, he is in love with you. Like, I don't know. That's me and my, like, rom-com, like, telenovela mind.
No, I get it. I like it.
I kind of wish that he would write something in his journals about Penn.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be cute.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't realize that it's about her too. Like, I think that would be cute, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just writing about, like what they did today, like, it could be anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then what if, like, she reads that or he tells her that he loves her, but she doesn't believe him. Well, look at my journals. Like, read my journals, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The answers lie in the words, my dear.
The next point is food, literally always eating. And if there is not any food, he always asks for food to be brought to him.
Yeah.
We didn't really get this in the show. And I was a little disappointed in that. So I really hope we get it for season 3.
Well, Luke tried to put it in the show, like, with the food.
Yeah, but it wasn't obvious.
There's, like, lots just of times the average where he's watcher, eating. Though.
Yeah. I think he thought it was obvious.
Maybe. But just, like, the average watcher, I don't think would, like, pick that out.
Yeah. I feel like Anthony ate more food than him. Like, sometimes.
No, there's lots of times where he's got a plate of food or he's got a plate beside him. Yeah. Or when in season 2, after they have that big dance, like, with the Sharmas, like yeah, right after he's like, "So we get some food?" Yes. Like,
yes, I did. I do.
He's
remember
just that. Like always mentioning it, or it's kind of there, but not
and then
obvious.
When Anthony
like,
comes
he's not
in that
stuffing
room
after himself, right?
He's still stuffing his mouth.
But I will
have to watch for that when I watch the rest of season two tomorrow.
I would like to see it very exaggerated. Like, I don't want a plate with three little cookies. You better put 20 of them on there. You know, like that shows.
Want to be like nervously eating, just like watching Penn across the room with a guy
eating a peach.
That's the thing, though. Like, he's not the one that could decide how many cookies. Like, I think he even asked the props people, like, "Can you load it up with cookies?" And that's what they gave him.
Yeah,
like he had to get his props.
Or when he's
the more
eating,
biscuits, the better.
Exactly. Yeah. Or when he's eating like a dog. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like,
the problem with that is when they do those scenes, it takes them like days. So it's really bad for actors to eat while they. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult.
Just eating all the biscuits.
Yeah, and then the food gets old and gross and smells bad. It sucks.
One thing I did notice a lot in the show, though, is he likes to drink. That would happen a couple times in season two.
Yeah.
And season,
when he's upset,
season one,
I think.
A little bit. Yeah. I think he got a little
couple
points from his brother-in-law, Simon.
I think he started.
And his brothers, they're kind of.
Probably, yeah.
They're kind of drinkers, too, so.
Didn't he start to drink more after Marina shut him down?
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
And he also likes to dance and sing thanks to Luke Newton.
Not in season two. He didn't sing or dance.
He danced in season two.
No,
with
he
Penn.
Did.
Yeah.
With Penn. And with Cressa.
I guess.
That big moment.
That's true.
He's not running away from the dance floor.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's true.
Know, that's a good thing.
So do you think we're going to see Colin dance more season three?
Yeah.
I hope so, in Berkeley Square.
Yeah. Penn, of course.
Okay, yeah, with Penn, but I'm talking about, like, with other people.
I don't think they're going to focus on him and another girl. They're definitely going to focus on Penn with other suitors, I think. But with him, Penn is going to be the center of his attention, I think.
I feel like we could get something kind of like that, but it's like a group dance, you know, where they like switch partners. And so Colin's like dancing with another girl, and then he like looks at Penn dancing with another guy and gets a little jealous, and maybe something like that.
Same thing.
Because it would be rom-com if he's dancing with someone and she's dancing with someone and they're both staring at each other. Like, or at least he's staring at her, you know.
He's going to have no interest in the girl.
Yeah.
You can see him stumbling with the girl while he's dancing, trying to get a look. He's trying to get a look at Penny, who she's dancing with, and she like stumbles and
He also likes to play with his younger siblings, and now we kind of know why, because he's 6 years younger, and so he's a little bit closer to his like Daphne, Eloise.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to play. Yeah. He's trying to play like the mature. Like brother, but he's basically also trying to play like, you know, be there for the younger kids.
He really is kind of like a middle child. Like, he's kind of that little gateway to the older siblings and to the younger siblings in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I feel like when someone said this in one episode, it was like one of the early ones, I don't remember who, but we were talking about the effects of like the father dying on like each of the kids, or like specifically Colin, and I remember someone saying that like I feel like the effect that I had on Colin is that he actually had to be like Anthony had to be like the dad, Benedict Hannah had to be like a big brother, you know, the bigger brother, and then but Colin was more like he just didn't know like where to be. But I do think that the way that people, or the way that Shonda is taking this, is that like he was kind of like the protector of them, and he had to like make them happy, like he had
make
to
them feel
like,
better.
Yeah, he had to like make all the kids happy, but he was sad, but no one was like really comforting him. You know what I mean?
Maybe it's where savior complex comes from.
Right. Yeah. I was just thinking that. Yeah. And then
I like it.
Yeah. And then he also likes fencing, although I don't know if he's that great. But
well, to be fair,
they
couldn't have made him that great when they made the actor do it with his non-dominant hand.
That's true. Yeah. He's gonna be better at boxing.
Otherwise, they'd all be on the floor. Remember?
Right.
Yeah. Really.
He's gonna be better.
Yes, at boxing. I've watched that interview too many times.
Right. Me too.
And I know exactly what you're talking about.
I have my fingers crossed that he's going to be boxing the hell out of.
Yep, I hope so.
Yeah,
and we also have him liking Pall Mall. Which who wins the Pall Mall match? I forget.
I think it was
Daphne.
Daphne, yeah.
Or yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
We did see Talon get a few like. Is it strikes in, or what, I don't know what you would say, balls through the thingy?
he was the reason
why balls, King, one,
whatever,
right? Ball. I like sports.
Yeah, right.
me too.
He was the reason why Kate and Anthony had that moment, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
He's also very like, I think he likes to set up people. Like, who else did he set up? Or like he's
set up all the siblings at the first. Yeah. Like,
well, in the books, he actually sets up Kate with Anthony.
Oh, really?
Because he's actually the first one that talks to Kate before Anthony even does.
Doesn't Talon have a chat with Michael too in Francesca's book or something?
Yes, he helps Francesca quite a bit, and he helps Gregory. And I think
can't help it.
Maybe.
Yes, he does.
He's the gateway between the older and the younger siblings.
Yeah.
He's the one that stumbles across him and Sophie, I think.
Which is kind of interesting because where the show starts, they're all kind of, well, most of the kids are older. So it seems like he's a part of the older siblings, even though he really is part of the younger siblings when you really think about it.
Well, and it doesn't help that he's super tall either. So.
Yeah. He's the tallest of all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know that he actually, in the books, that he was actually setting other people up. But he did it on the show. Like, he's a hopeless romantic, I feel like. And we see that.
Yeah, we see that with Marina, too, right?
But I feel like he's in his fuckhead era. He's like, I don't care. He does not know.
I heard the sarcasm there, Sarah.
I wasn't even looking at the screen and I heard it.
Or that Gemini come
out. Yeah, it's a little salty. No, it's fine. And the last thing we have is he likes to watch boxing matches, and we're hoping that he'll participate in season 3 in a boxing match.
Yeah,
but
preferably with Will Mondrick.
He likes sports.
Please,
I would like actually lots of boxing matches with Will Mondrick. I would like some training, please, and thank you. I know you already filmed the season, but. If that's not in there, can you please redo that real quick?
Right.
That needs to happen.
It is now time for Lady Whistledown Society Grammar School to elevate your eloquence amongst the ton.
So this week, we are not going to tell you what the word means. Instead, dear listeners, we are going to have you tell us what the word means for challenge number 4. So you're going to put our word of the day, blue deviled, in your best sentence. So kind of make it Bridgerton related somehow. And you're going to leave this sentence in our comments, either on TikTok or Instagram. And then whichever comment has the most likes, they will be the winner of that week. So if that comment says it's from somebody who's on Team Bridgerton and they have the most likes, Team Bridgerton will win. If that comment has the most likes and they're a Team Featherington person, Team Featherington will win this week. So this week we're kind of leaving it up to you, Hunt, or you, Bridger Bees. So we're kind of taking a step back and we're just going to watch.
And just make sure that if you want your vote to count, you have to have either the blue heart with a bee or the yellow heart with a butterfly beside your name.
Yeah,
okay? we can count it.
Yeah. So you don't have to change your profile picture. I guess we just kind of thought that was a little bit unfair for everybody. And I know some people are like, don't like want to change their profile picture. So yeah. So if you just put a B or a blue heart, kind of like what Caitlin said, and then a yellow or a butterfly next to your name. We just need to know what team you're on.
Yeah.
Basically. So make it obvious.
Yeah.
But yeah, go team Bridgerton.
Let's go Featherington. Yeah.
Featherington.
I can't wait to see what these sentences are going to be.
I know. I'm really excited.
Be as creative as possible.
Yes. Be creative.
Be creative. But yes, again, the word is blue deviled. So you got to use that in a sentence, Bridgerton related. So
if you have to look it up, then yeah. Look it up.
That's okay. Better make it funny.
Yeah. We're not going to do an early entry, though, this week. We're just going to drop it. I think we're just going to start dropping it on Thursdays. That way it gives people a little time to watch or listen to our podcast and then, you know, participate on Thursdays. It'll be open till Sunday. So Thursday to Sunday is the window for participating.
And encourage your friends to participate, because this is meant to be like a fun thing for us to do while we wait abnormally long amount of time that we need to wait for season 3.
Yeah. So don't be lame. I keep saying this like every episode. Don't be lame. Join in. And we're back with talking more about Colin's character analysis. And we're going to get into talking more about his good and his bad qualities. So starting off with a good quality is that he cares about his family and friends. And we kind of talked about that a lot, that he, you know, has that middle ground of taking care of his older siblings and his younger siblings. And I just like that he gets along with everybody really well.
Yeah, I agree. He cares about them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Except the Louise. He doesn't like her.
No. He butts heads with
Louise. Why does he hang out with her and her best friend all the time?
Yeah, right.
Well, I think it has to do with the best friend, but I could be.
Because, you know, they're so close in age, I feel like they just give each other shit, you know?
Yeah, that's what you do with your siblings, especially when you're that close.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like Eloise is a little hard to befriend because she's so headstrong.
Yeah.
So it might be a little bit hard. They clash ideas all the time.
You know, she kind of reminds me of Anthony in a way.
Yeah.
Like, Eloise.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little similar.
She's very
also ends
like
up arguing with.
Gung-ho.
Stubborn, yeah.
That's an interesting question. Is what two siblings are like the most similar?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I was going to say Francesca Benedict.
Okay. Yeah.
Daphne and Colin, I would say.
See, I haven't read everybody's books yet, so I don't know based off of books quite yet. I'm working on it, but.
Hyacinth and Eloise
have a
lot of similarities.
Who?
Hyacinth and Eloise.
Yeah, okay. Hyacinth is really annoying. So. Yeah.
Shut up,
she's very like
hater,
very headstrong, very,
very confident.
Hyacinth knows who Lady Whistledown is. She said it's a Featherington. She said Lady
she was first she one.
Lady Featherington or something like that.
Could it be Lady Featherington?
Yeah. Why do we know these lines? Like, tell me why today at the dentist I was actually watching Bridgerton and the doctor's trying to talk to me and I'm in the middle of it. I'm like, uh-huh.
Were you thinking of another dentist?
Oh, an eye doctor?
We're not dentists.
That's an eye
sorry.
Doctor.
An eye doctor.
Next time we'll be a podiatrist.
I know exactly what you meant, Caitlin. I swear, we've
been a long day.
Look, Caitlin, when
it's
been a long 3 years.
What if he is a dentist too? I don't know.
Oh,
maybe
he's
not
a,
oral
he's
care.
A,
you know?
takes care of eyes and teeth.
Oh my god!
Double.
That's back in the day, they used to go to dentists for a lot of things.
Like what?
But you know how people used to get bled, like they would bleed you, like drain you of blood to get rid of disease and stuff.
Mm-hmm. What the hell?
Obviously didn't work.
I just talked about that in my phlebotomy class just yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know,
I drain a blood every month. I don't know what
there is therapeutic phlebotomy. There are people that have diseases where they do need phlebotomy.
I mean, I get nosebleeds. I get nosebleeds. 100%. That comes.
But they also, so they would bleed people, but doctors, like early, a long, long time ago, you would sometimes have like special people that can do it. And one of those people was dentists. Mm-hmm. And some dentists that did it would have that, do you know that like red and white circle-y thing outside the dentist's office?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's the original sign that would tell you whether or not they would draw blood or do phlebotomy because it would have red or not.
Right.
Oh my God.
Fun fact.
That's insane.
Why are you laughing so much, Sarah?
Benedict, I know.
Laughing at our own joke.
Did you not hear what I said?
No, I missed it. I'm sorry.
I drain a blood every month.
I took that as like, I took it medical. Sorry.
I heard it. I was like, what?
Yeah, sorry. Totally missed that one. I went medical with that one.
Gotta happen at least one episode. I gotta say something out of thin air. Okay. Anyways.
<That's> funny. Sorry.
Speaking of that, another quality is of Colin is that he's kinky.
Yeah. We have no idea about Colin yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I hope so. But
I mean, breaking furniture.
Breaking furniture. Yep. There's gotta be a carriage in a mirror scene. Come on. So
Do you think there's gonna be a montage of like Colin doing the dirty with like other people?
No.
No.
I doubt it.
I mean, we haven't
seen it with the last two, not really a montage.
And well, we saw it with Anthony, right? Limited.
Yeah, but it was limited. I wouldn't call it, I don't know, maybe.
The thing is, if Colin messed around when he was traveling and season or episode one is like when he's coming back, when would they show that montage?
You know? Maybe they'll do references of it.
They could.
Season opener, credits roll. There's Colin and it's
on the tree. It's on
a jolly knob.
Oh my God.
Sorry. I know that's not the meeting.
I was gonna say it's not what you think. Me and Sarah were
we tried.
Yeah.
Sarah's stressed,
right? Remember?
Different
sort of. Okay, and then the next bad quality is stupid. No,
he's stupid.
I don't think he's stupid either.
No,
I just think he struggles.
Things. Yeah,
he's trying to figure out where he fits in the world, and that's taking a lot of his brain power at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Like it kind of comes across pretty, like he's a little bit naive. He's impulsive. He's not quite fully mature yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think like most boys his age. So yeah. He can't always be perfect, right?
Right. And he also, another point is he's very jealous. And I'm for that. I want to see all of the jealousy in season 3.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which do we. I mean, we get some jealousy in the book, but it's mostly him being jealous of Penn's writing, not necessarily her being with other suitors in the book. So,
because that doesn't happen,
right? So we'll probably get. I mean, do you guys think we'll get more jealous, like extra jealousy, because he'll be jealous of the suitors, and then also jealous of her writing? Or do you think
I don't want him to be jealous of her writing, but
yeah.
I don't think
I want him to be super jealous of the other guys, but I don't think he needs to be jealous of her accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such like a cliche with men throughout history. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna be scared of like what she's doing. I think the jealousy, like everyone has said, it's gonna come from like him realizing that Penn is worth $1 million and then everyone wants her. $1 million as in like she is everything that he ever has wanted in a woman, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So any thought of like someone else having her is going to irritate the fuck out of him. Aries rising, all I'm saying.
And then he also, when he gets angry, like he gets really angry, and I guess he kind of has a temper that he gets easily triggered. So we kind of talked about that a little bit already, but
yeah,
I think that's just something when you're human. Like I said, everyone kind of has their good and bad qualities, which is what we're talking about. So, and he keeps secrets well. That's a good quality to have sometimes.
He's a sneaky boy.
Like he kept the secret about Anthony's duel in season one, the fake jewels in season two, and then of course now Lady Whistledown in season three.
Even like Jack Featherington's scheme, like he wasn't telling what was happening because he knew that it was gonna, you know, affect everyone.
I wonder if he becomes good friends with Mondridge this next season, if he'll find out what Mondridge did to get his, you know, bar.
If he becomes Lord Featherington, he's going to find out because that's how Jack found out.
Yeah, maybe he'll find out and then that'll be a part of his storyline in season four. That's a good point.
Interesting.
We're really thinking about stuff here.
I know. Diving deep. And another good quality is that he loves the idea of love, which is interesting. Yes. He doesn't want to get married.
I think, I think he just like was so disappointed that he was like, what's the point? And like everyone else that I meet is kind of like a physical connection. I'm never going to have like that emotional connection that I had with Marina, quote unquote, which he had none. You know, and I think that I feel like once you meet like the right person, it just everything just kind of like clicks into place. So like with him, I think he's just like doesn't have that chemistry with anyone else.
And then he's a gentleman, right? At least in season one.
Very much.
He could have kissed Marina, but he didn't. So at least he has some control.
That's true. That's he does say, I'm a gentleman, just like Anthony.
Mm-hmm. But I think we kind of talked about this.
Proceeds to not be a gentleman.
Right. And I think we'll get that in season three. I think
so. That's definitely make a drinking game out of season two with what how often he says, I'm a gentleman.
Yeah.
Oh, we should.
That's good.
Or like we all the characters. How many characters say it? And how many times do you think the eye doctor is gonna say I'm a gentleman to Benedict?
He's probably gonna say I'm your gentleman doctor.
Do you know what though? Honestly, what if season three happens and then because Benedict is gonna be season four, and because he's season four, they're gonna give him a preliminary love interest in season three. And that's gonna be the eye doctor.
That's what we said in the last episode.
That's what we have been saying.
That's exactly what we said. Eye doctor will be the first love, his first heartbreak.
And,
he will move on to Sophie.
Well, the thing is, JP, we see there the only characters that were even announced for season four were Benedict and Johnny. You know what I mean? Like,
and Gianni.
Gianni. Yeah, like that you're on first name basis.
Johnny.
You're like, Benedict, why are you going to the eye doctor so much? Oh, no reason.
Get my blood drained.
And then he's got to go to the dentist.
Yeah. I think they would also cut off limbs, dentists.
Oh, gross.
That's another thing they would do. Yeah. That's who you would go to.
All right. And the last point, too, was that he likes to come to the rescue, which we kind of talked already about. Again, kind of feeling like he rescued Marina, like rescued Penn in episode one from Cressida, rescued Penn's family from Jack.
Hey, when is he going to rescue his damn self? Like, come on.
Right. That's a good question.
I need Colin to do some self-care. I think maybe that's what he's doing, actually.
Treat yourself.
Exactly.
I need Colin to rescue Penn from a suitor.
Ooh.
Yes.
Like a bad suitor.
Dabbling.
Mm-hmm. And knock him out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dankworth.
Did we ever figure out if Fife was going to be in season 4-3?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I really think he is. I have a really crazy theory about that.
Let's hear it.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
I had to write it down because I was just like randomly one day just kind of thinking about it. So my theory is that Fife maybe overheard Portia telling Jack about the firstborn son being the heir, and that maybe he's going to try to get with Penn for that reason. And you know how he said to Anthony, he's like, you know, you just have to wed bread and bed them or whatever, or wed bed and bread, and then move on to more pleasurable pursuits. So I'm thinking maybe he's going to try to marry Penn. So he has that, like, you know, possibility for the heir and the title, and then, you know, fuck around on the side. And then I think Colin's going to get wind of that.
Or Anthony will tell him, that's what he said.
Because Fife goes, to that, to Mondrich's new bar, right? Mm-hmm. The gentleman's lounge and stuff. So maybe he overhears that. Maybe Mondrich overhears that. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Colin's gonna try to like tell Penelope this, but she's gonna still be mad at him and be like, you just don't want me to marry, you don't think I can marry people, like, you know, mm-hmm. this person doesn't like me for me and stuff, and he's gonna be like arguing with her about it. I don't know. And then I'm thinking maybe Fife will learn that she's Lady Whistledown, and then he's gonna use that as like
blackmail to be like, you have
to mention that last make episode make her marry him.
Oh, oh shit.
Yeah.
Could it be Fife?
I
was like, you could blackmail Penn into marrying him instead of Colin.
Well, here's
and then
here's
now the Colin thing. Has to figure that out.
That makes sense because Fife has been like a very prevalent like character in the whole two seasons, like more than like any of the other characters, you know what I mean? Like, as a
so randomly too.
Yeah, and I think that honestly, to go off what you're saying, Caitlin, I think that if he does end up like going through like with what you're saying, like I think Penelope is even going to be like, because I have a theory that Penn's going to get engaged or even actually like want to get married. Like, what if that wedding that we saw in those pictures isn't Paul's wedding? It's her wedding with someone else. I don't know. I feel like it's going to go that deep.
That would be drama, though. That would for sure be drama.
Yeah, but that's all Shonda.
But that's already like a storyline later in the series.
That's true with Gregory, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I haven't read his book yet, so don't spoil it.
Sorry, I just spoiled the entire book for you.
That's okay. I mean, I know his book is called like On the Way to the Wedding or something. That makes sense.
But I do think that Penn's going to take someone else seriously, or not seriously, but like actually think about this. Yeah, well we got like different perspectives of women in season 1 where it was like, you know, what's the best thing? Just marry someone so that you can pretend basically in society that you're like good, but you're actually like okay with one another, like doing other things. Like that's what that one man said to Benedict.
That's like, so sad that they had to feel that way back then. Like the Bridgertons are the exception because they want to marry for love. That's really sad.
Yeah. But I think that's why honestly, like Penn is in her dark era because she literally doesn't believe in love or anymore. And she's just gonna want to have this freedom, and she's going to want to just, you know, marry someone just to say she's married, and then also have the luxury of doing whatever the hell she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
So she could just marry whoever, Fife or whoever, and then she'll just be like content with that. And Colin's gonna be like, no, like you can marry for love. Like, you're up.
Well, maybe and maybe when like Colin says like, oh, Fife just wants to marry you to like for money basically, and she's like, yeah, okay, I'm fine with that. you know, like, I don't love him, he doesn't love me, like, it's just a transaction, basically. And I think that's going to be, like, the biggest problem with Colin, because then he's going to have to really think about, like, why does he not want Penn to marry? Because she could marry, and she's going to be okay, because she doesn't care, but, like, why doesn't he actually want to marry her? And I think that's when he confronts himself with his feelings, and he's going to be like, shit, I actually am, like, in love with her.
I think it would also be a really cute parallel, too, because, like, in season one, Penelope tried to warn Colin about Marina.
Oh, but
this
shit.
Time around, Colin could be warning Penn about him, about some guy.
Caitlin, Caitlin, come on.
How the turntables.
But like, same with, you know, Colin gonna be standing on the edge of the dance floor like Penelope was, you know. I feel like there's gonna be lots of those moments where he's now doing that.
But didn't Nicholas say that it's basically season three is basically season one? Like, what exactly did she say? She said something about like what you said, like the parallels, like it's very similar or something like that to season one.
Okay.
Okay, and then moving on is who is he like in his family and his friends? So the first point we have is he doesn't feel like he has a purpose compared to his siblings. I think this is, I mean, I'm just trying to think of like what purpose all of the other siblings have. So Anthony is the Viscount, right? Benedict is an artist. Daphne is a mom.
And a duchess.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and a duchess, yep. And then what's Eloise? She's
like an activist.
Yeah, I think. That's true.
Francesca.
Doesn't she have sex a lot? I don't know.
I don't think that's her purpose, but I think Francesca's purpose was like she always wanted to have children, right? And not having children and stuff, that was like a big upset for her, right?
Yeah. Gregory likes his marbles.
And Hyacinth is like, you know,
know-it-all.
She's all about uncovering the truth and like the mysteries to be solved, and I don't know.
Yeah,
she's also very similar to Eloise, like JP said, though.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, I feel like Colin has, I mean, we know from reading the book obviously, but like he has a good purpose too, and he likes to travel, and I don't know, I don't think he has anything to worry about, but he doesn't know that.
Yeah.
And then we kind of mentioned this already, that he gets along well with his siblings and his mom, especially. I do like his relationship that he has with Violet. I think Violet has a good relationship with all the kids. So I'm excited to see that more in season three, his relationship with Violet and how that grows.
Me too.
And, he also doesn't like being lied to.
Oh, he does.
And then it triggers his temper.
Yeah, it triggers his temper.
Can he even hold a grudge for that long, though? Because he went back to Marina for whatever reason to try to get her to, like, basically get back with him, I guess.
I think he did that because he looked back on it and saw himself as the villain, because he could have done more, and again, his savior complex.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think he did that necessarily because he, I don't know.
No, that makes sense, yeah. But he still went back, you know, because if he was, like, so mad at her, he wouldn't even care. So I guess
I don't think he held a grudge, though, you're right.
And then we also put on the show, he's more close with Benedict and Daphne. He has more, like, heartfelt conversations with them. I don't know. Does he? I feel like he has some with Eloise too, or at least he might coming up.
Yeah,
I feel like in the past seasons they've kind of bickered more.
Yeah,
Benedict and Eloise are pretty close.
Bicker siblings, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm really excited to see their relationship, because you could see the hurt that she felt when she was talking to Penelope. She was like, "Why? How could you do this to my brother?" So I think we're gonna see like a protective Eloise, and that's and we're gonna see her become like way more closer to Colin. I mean, now that
I think older, she might use it as an excuse, but I don't know if she'll necessarily be like actually like stay with my brother, or if it's gonna be more like a way to.
But I think
tend to stay away.
But don't you think that she's going to like have more heartfelt conversations about it because she knows the truth and he doesn't, or she thinks that he
probably
doesn't?
Yeah. But
I feel like it's okay. Have you guys ever seen the show Friends? If you haven't, I don't.
I haven't.
So there is an episode where Monica and Chandler are messing around, God. And everyone else doesn't okay. know like what's going on.
You're the youngest.
Okay. What, you've never seen Friends?
No, I mean, look, I've seen a couple like clips here and there, obviously. On like TikTok and all that stuff, but
okay, I'm with you on that. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for everybody else who is normal,
okay. Have you seen El Chavo del Ocho? Have you seen El Chavo del Ocho?
Have you seen Teresa? Sorry.
Have you seen Marimar?
I seen Y Tu Mama También. That was beautiful. Nobody. Okay.
Have you seen Betty La Fea?
No habla español. I took Spanish for 1 year and I hated it. Not the language, but just like the whole class. I hated people.
I know what Friends is. I've seen clips of
okay.
it.
Okay. Anyways, so Monica and Chandler are like secretly hooking up together, and then Joey finds out that they're hooking up. And then eventually Rachel finds out too. And it's just kind of the thing where Joey and Rachel are like, I know something. Do you know it? That's what I feel like is going to happen with Colin and Eloise. Like,
that's funny.
Do you know? Yeah.
You don't know that I know that she like, knows that we know.
Yeah. I love it.
And then Colin and Gregory, being the youngest brothers, they also have a good relationship too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you see them like playing together and Colin being a good big brother
fighting and
yeah,
and I think again because Colin is trying to be like the older sibling and be like an adult and prove how much of a man he is, he also understands Gregory maybe a little bit more because he mm-hmm. is so much younger than everybody else. He kind of understands mm-hmm. what it's like to be the younger boy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say like I have a really really strong relationship with my youngest sibling, and she's like a girl, and she has a better relationship with me than the middle child. So like what you said, like Colin's kind of like the oldest because the other two were dealing with the death, you know,
mm-hmm.
of everything. And so I think that Gregory kind of just held on to that the next oldest boy.
Yeah. I mean, Anthony and Gregory have a good relationship too. At least that's what they show. And
but it's more playful with Colin, isn't it?
Yeah, I want to see that happen more between him and Colin too in season three. I want the younger siblings to get a little bit more screen time because we really don't know them in the show that much.
Yeah, they kind of have to introduce mm-hmm. them if we're going to care about them enough. For them to care about their season when it comes, then they need to start introducing them a little more.
Yeah. I would like to see, I mean, how old is Gregory going to be in this season? 13?
No, a little older. I think
I'd like to see him 15? Have like a crush on somebody or something.
That would be cute.
Yeah.
That
or even Hyacinth or somebody.
Yeah. Well, because I think someone said that Hyacinth was 10 season one. And then that means that Gregory, they're a year apart, right? So he was like 11, mm-hmm. 12.
And again, it depends on how much they jump in this season time-wise. But
so Gregory is 6 years younger than Colin. Colin was 19 in the first season. He'd have been 13 in 13. The first season.
Hmm. So he's 16 now. Are they going to show him go to, you know how they all go to like the school?
Go off to boarding school? Eat,
yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. They do that during the season too? Like when would that fall?
I don't know.
Like this season.
I feel like after season three, we'll have to make like a timeline.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Of how everything.
But like timed. When would school be in as opposed to when the season of like the marriage season?
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the dates again. I'm not sure.
Historian JP.
I think this year it started around spring, so it makes sense. I don't know when school and 1800s.
He could just disappear mid-season because he's off to school, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, they did that with Francesca, true. But, like, with, where did she go?
She went with her piano tutor? No, she went to Scotland.
To visit her aunt or something.
Yeah, to learn piano or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and so then we're kind of finishing up on some of his qualities and everything, but this is just like some other, I don't know, observations that we've had. One of them is, he dresses really well. I think they all dress really well. I mean, I think that's part of the society is them dressing well. So far with the pictures that we've gotten for season 3, though, I really like his outfits, I mean, a lot better than season 2 and season 1. Yeah. We actually get chest hair, so
I actually like season 2 outfits, to be honest. Like,
oh yeah,
I love his style.
All those edits that Mia did with him in that blue suit, I was like, scrumptious. Him getting out of that carriage, like, he looked good. I know it was the baby blue, but it was something about the fit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I want to see more top hats. Those are fun.
We did see less top hats this last season.
Well, didn't we see one during the horse races and then him getting out of the carriage to visit Marina, and that was it, right? I think.
He also wore a top hat in the first season when they went to the boxing match, I think.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did we ever find out the reason that they would wear a top hat or not wear a top hat? Like, what's the occasion that they have to wear a top hat?
I think they just always have to wear it when they're outside, right?
I don't know. I always see people with top hats.
I mean, like, when you're outside in society, like, walking down the streets and stuff like that. Like, the only time they don't is, like, in their own homes and stuff.
Yeah.
They didn't wear it when they did powwow and stuff. But when they would...
Do you think...
And not during balls and stuff, of course. When you're inside, you don't.
Right. To, like, promenade.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think that Colin's gonna wear top hats? Because if he's going all Greek, like, or whatever.
Yeah, he might not, since his fashion is changing. Also, Breke never really wore a top hat, but like the very first scene, like his first scene, did he?
Yeah, I don't think he will be, but I might be wrong.
Maybe Colin's gonna rebel against the top hat. He's like, my hair is too flowy now. It can't possibly be covered
my perm. By a
top hat. Don't mess with the do.
I'm going for a pirate look.
I swear he got... I know, he's going to wear a pirate
hat. That's a pirate hat.
Actually, there was like a form of hat that was popular at the time that looked very pirate-like.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few of them, really.
And then the last thing that we have on our list is that he is willing to defend and stands up for what is right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I really like this quality. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
And then to finish up our Colin analysis, we have a few fun facts for you. So first of all, his name is Colin Bridgerton. His birthday
middle name unknown.
Yeah, middle name unknown. So Colin Unknown Bridgerton. And his birthday is March 2nd, 1791, and he was actually born at Aubrey Hall, which I feel like most of the Bridgertons were probably born there, right?
Yeah. I think he was mentioned, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, he's played by actor Luke Newton, who we all love. He is the third born son, and he's untitled. And then he also, his marital status is single at the moment, but married to Penelope Featherington in the future.
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler. And then
spoilers, Sarah.
Oh God, sorry.
You just spoiled the entire season 3. That's the entire plot.
It's their fault for not reading the book.
And he finds out who Lady Whistledown is. So extra spoiler.
Oh, Sarah, come with the spoilers. One more.
So how stupid could he be?
I know. Stupid enough to follow her in a carriage. Anyway. Oh. So if you've taken, what's that called? That personality test called?
The Myers-Briggs personality.
Okay. Yeah. So his personality type is an ENFP, which can someone else tell me what that is? Because I don't know.
Extroverted. What's the N stand for again?
Nurturing.
Oh, nurturing.
Feeling and perceiving. So basically the male version of JP. Because that's the same personality type she has.
Which I think is why we all love JP.
Mm-hmm. Aw, I love you guys too. I am a little stupid sometimes though.
No.
JP, would you ever follow someone in a carriage? That's my
question. I would. You know that I would, girl. Especially then, if I've been drinking, you tell me to do something, I'll be like, okay.
Yes, I've witnessed it.
Just make sure you got $100 on you, JP, when I see you next. Okay.
Okay. $100, why?
Because when you're drinking, I'll be like, hey JP, you want to give me $100? Okay.
Oh, and I'll totally be like, okay. Don't tell me you think anybody's cute or anything. I'll totally go up to them.
Oh gosh. Okay. That's good to know.
I won't if you really don't want me to though.
Yeah, that might be kind of fun.
That would be fun, actually. I'll do it.
We need to go out one of those nights.
It'll be fun.
We can do it after the hike.
Totally, when we're all sweaty and
hopefully my wrist that I apparently will not need for a hike. Well, I don't know why I even thought about that. Will be in
then. We'll give you a hiking stick. You might need it for
that. I might need a hiking stick. I've broken a few bones in the last couple of years, so yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, and then he also has 4 children, so Agatha, Thomas, Jane, and George. So super cute. And of course those are his children with Penelope,
right?
spoiler alert.
It sounded like he had those children already.
Sorry.
Like, children from his travels.
Oh my god.
These children. That is
but have we ever talked about, I guess we talked about it a little bit, about if they have a male child that could be Lord Featherington. So is Agatha going to be first or is it going to be Thomas?
That's why I think there's going to be twins.
They name their firstborn child after Lady Danbury.
Yeah,
Lady Danbury. Right.
Everyone for listening to this episode. We couldn't have done it without all of our listeners and our Bridgerby community, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to us. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Buzz of the Ton, and make sure you're following along with our Feud of the Ton challenges. Again, they're really fun, so please join in. We love hearing from you guys and seeing you guys participate. Stay tuned for our next episode, which are released every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and we've expanded now too. We've expanded to Amazon Music, right?
Yes.
And iHeartRadio and Google.
Yes.
Right? Yep. So
Google had a podcast.
Right.
So we listened to our Bridgerbys. Some of you guys wanted us to be on more platforms, so your wish is granted. Mm-hmm. All right. After all, what do ladies do best? Be the buzz of the ton. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Yeah.